Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations for surviving the
So who doesn't have power?
Smattering. Better than we thought.
Who has a gift now?
That's what?
All of us. Who has an if
van?
If van. If X, then Y.
Get out of the temple, you will not make my house a marketplace. Okay? So we began the Lenten journey, as you remember, with the Old Testament readings that have led to the giving of the law. The creation, the
understanding of the created order as blessed by God, the calling of Abraham and Sarah to be uniquely in relationship with the one true God. Today we hear about the giving of the law, the way in which we are to be organized. At this point, as we go forward, the relationship between God and God's creation is transactional. And you, well, as we sang in the song, if, then. Consider all the many if, then relationships you have that rule and describe and define your life. If you show up for work, then you'll get paid. If you accomplish the goal the organization has set for your department, then you'll get a bonus. If you say, my haircut looks good, then I'll say something nice about you. If you get good grades, then you get into college. If you do the dishes, then you get dessert. If you live a good, clean life, then you go to heaven. If you get cancer, then you must have done something wrong. If you do what I say, then I will love you. Well, I mean, we have so many if-then relationships that we grew up with, that we were trained in, that we were carefully taught about in school and home and family and church. You might not like some of those if-thens, but they're in the background or maybe even in the foreground. And when Jesus casts out the goats and the sheep and the doves, he has essentially put an end to that transactional relationship with our Creator and replaced it with the reality of his presence in our midst. The temple worship, the temple sacrifice, that is, you did bad and you got to pay for it, Larry. Big time. Because I know. And in your case, it was no dove will suffice. It has to be a clean lamb. A really nice one. And not mutton either. Nice choice baby lamb. So that transaction that takes place all the time in our mind, whether we like to believe it or not, it's in the background. And that was not what Jesus came to set up. When he turned over the temple sacrifice, and then he did not expect us to start building temples again. And yet here we are. Because the temple of Christ is his body, he replaces that marketplace, that if-then, with his very presence. So note, when we say in a moment around the table, do this in remembrance of me, that has a severe and technical and important and meaningful and sober idea. Remembering literally means remember, literally putting back together the members of the body. So that what we do on any given Sunday, any time around the table, we are the assembled body of Christ gathered. We have been remembered, reconstituted, incorporated. Now, incorporated sounds to you perhaps like some sort of business Wall Street term. But the incorporation, corpus, as you know, as I've said often enough, we are the corpus. We are the body gathered. There is no if-then here. All come to the table and are reminded of their identity and their purpose as the body, and are sent out in that power of that remembering to be the body elsewhere, to those who have either forgotten or never known it. To those who have forgotten or never known it. There is no if-then in the kingdom of God. If you're operating on that idea, please repent of it. There are many if-thens that seem to be appropriate. If Hazel May needs to have her diaper changed, then John is going to change it. If Hazel May pulls over the torch, then it's going to break the glass. So yeah, there are some if-thens that seem to make sense, that are transactions that are just a consequence of gravity and entropy and the legal system that the society exists by. But not so in the kingdom of God. And it takes a lot to challenge and to break the patterns that we have that have been carefully constructed to control us, because those are structures of power. And in the marketplace that Jesus was ending, it was strictly about who was in power of the sacrifice. Who had the levers of sanctification? Who was at the switch of the if-then? Who was letting you know you fulfilled that little covenant, that transaction? Today, it would seem power is still the heart of the central abuse of our relationships. Who's in charge? I can't tell you how disappointing sometimes it is to be me. That shouldn't surprise any of you. But sometimes it's hard to be me when we talk in the church, this church in particular. What runs things is Robert's Rules of Order. Or sometimes a little thing called a rubric. Does any... You know, people will be aghast if many of my congregations don't know what rubrics are, because I don't talk about them much. Sandy knows what a rubric is. Rubric? No? Sandy used to know what a rubric was. Thank God he's forgotten. That's a grace right there. Father John knows what rubrics are.
Service directions.
Service directions. You know the fine print, the light italics? Rubric from the word rouge, because in the original prayer books, all the fine print were in red, right? And this fine print was, and there are some at large in church that say that you have to follow the rubrics or you are out of communion with the church because you have followed the constitutional roles and so on. So how dare you not receive communion first? Because the rubric plainly says the celibate shall receive communion first. The rubrics plainly say unless you're baptized, you cannot receive communion. The rubrics plainly say the prayers of the people come after the meeting. The rubrics plainly say that the priest says the words of the Eucharistic prayer. I'm just pointing out for you, and if John posts this up on the internet, I could be charged with breaching the canons and the constitution of the church because we failed to follow those rubrics all the way through. Now, I cheated on one of them. The first one, which is the prayers of the people. Well, you'll note that there's a litany, the Great Litany, and we'll be doing that in a couple of Sundays. And the rubrics for the Great Litany say that that must precede the Eucharist. And when you have the Great Litany, you would then not have prayers of the people because you would have done that ahead of time. And I know Diane is very happy that we're going to be doing the Great Litany because she asked it about 6 months ago, and now I'm going to fulfill that obligation. If Diane asks for anything, then I will do it.
All right.
But because the Great Litany is allowed to come before the readings, so I'm under that rubrical cover saying that we'll have our prayers to the people first in Lent. And I think I could avoid deposition and being defrocked thereby. On the other points, the bishop will have as he wills. But since I've told him, and he's allowed me to do it, he too could come under the gates of the rubrical Gestapo. But that's really harsh of me to say. I repent of that language. These people care deeply about the church, and I should not insult them in that kind of inflammatory way. So absolutely apologize for that language. But the if-then structure is alive and well at almost all levels of your relationships with other human beings, in the government, in the church, and elsewhere. It can lead ultimately to destructive patterns, every bit as harsh as the language that I used. Or if we got to understanding the nature of the kingdom of God a little bit better and clearer, we would understand that we are the gathered body of Christ, and every one of us, every last one of us, and we exist beyond the confines of power. And I invite you to think about what that might mean for you and for me. So when you say the word Eucharistic prayer words, in, as we've been doing in Lent, you're being the priest together. You are joining in the sacrifice of the Mass. You're not spectating it, you're enacting it. You're becoming and acting as priest. Now, that's about you claiming the power as your identity as the assembled body of Christ Catholic. There's no if then in that. There is only grace. There is only mercy. There is only welcome. There is only love. There is only healing in this. There is only Christ. As St. Augustine said so pithily, you were baptized. Become what you are.